The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor, and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
Welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. We got a great show planned for you today. Here's what's affecting your life and your wealth. We're going to talk about Donald Trump, his blind trust. It's been assigned so far, we think, to his children. More of that will be coming out, but I thought it'd be very timely to talk about it. Is it the right move to have somebody so close, or is it fair that somebody so close to Donald Trump should be running the blind trust? And for your own situation, your own assets, do you know where everything is? Do you know everything you have? If you don't, you should. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to discuss the idea of mixing family with business and what it means to you. Leland Faust will be joining us later in the program. He's an author that wrote a wonderful book called A Capitalist's Lament. We'll talk about the deceptions of Wall Street and what Trump's presidency means to big banks. But first, let's jump into Donald Trump and him selecting family members, people very close to him, in helping manage his empire. The Trump businesses. This all falls into place of what's called a blind trust. Blind trust would set up for elected officials to be able to put their assets in a place where there would be less conflict of interest with day-to-day operations of those assets. And I'll give you something kind of very similar, because past presidents have done this, but many past presidents seem to have come into the White House with very little. I'm talking the Clintons and I'm talking the Obamas. And when they've left, they've been very wealthy. So, you know, for somebody like the Bush family who has entered the White House wealthy, you know, you want to basically put a wall up, a barrier around businesses that are in motion, things that are happening from a business standpoint, so that it doesn't end up being part of the decision-making process of what's better for our country and policies that the elected official, the president in this particular case, has to do. So if we go to New York, for example, Michael Bloomberg was extremely wealthy, right? He was a billionaire that became mayor of New York. And Michael Bloomberg had to separate his business, right? Bloomberg, which is a business, from him operating in New York City. In my mind, did Michael Bloomberg, was he aware? Did he get, let me back up. So did Michael Bloomberg ever meet with his top management team at Bloomberg on an ongoing basis to find out what they were doing and talk about things? I can tell you for a fact if I know that. I know Michael Bloomberg had a foundation. I know that Michael Bloomberg is allowed to get together to talk about that foundation because it's a foundation. Very interesting that I would think that many that are on that foundation, the board and those that are decision makers of the foundation, are also probably decision makers within his company. I'm sure if somebody was smart enough, they could put two and two together. If folks are meeting with him for a foundation discussion, are they also having a discussion on other matters? We'll never know. We hope that the elected official who serves in office has ethics in mind and doesn't want to do something like that. In this particular case with Donald Trump and a blind trust and trying to put his businesses in a place where he's not a decision maker is what it's going to come down to. So my question to you, and I'd love to get emails from you. We'll check our email bag, info@cfnplan.com. Here's the question. Is it right that Donald Trump's children and family will be running his business while he steps away from the business? He can't be part of the business decision making, right? That's part of this whole blind trust operation. He cannot be making the decisions of his companies, of his investments. George Bush and his blind trust and Bill Clinton's blind trust, there was a financial advisor that was making day-to-day decisions. Some information came out the other day that Donald Trump owns stock. Apple is a stock he owns. Whether he holds Apple or sells Apple or shorts Apple cannot be his decision any longer. He can hire me, Steve Cardasco, to be his financial advisor. His assets will go into a blind trust. I will have carte blanche not to be able to communicate with him and make decisions on his behalf on his investments. But he has something more than equities and bonds and things that trade in open markets. He has businesses. So now those businesses are still going to be allowed to operate, but he can't be a decision maker in that operation of those businesses. So he's elected to have his family do it. The left is making a big deal about that. At the end of the day, somebody's got to run those businesses. Guess who was running the businesses for the most part prior to him becoming president? Those same individuals. So let's look at it a different way. Bill Clinton takes office. Well, let's say Hillary takes office. She still has a foundation in place. She's not going to be involved in the decision-making of that foundation day to day. Guess who's going to be? Chelsea. Unless she says, Chelsea, you can't do it, but we didn't hear that during the campaign. We can go to somebody who is in the middle here, like Michael Bloomberg. Michael Bloomberg still had a foundation that had to run. He had a business that had to run. He's not involved in that business. He had a management team. Were some of those on that management team still part of his foundation that he was allowed to meet on? Absolutely. Look, at the end of the day, you just have to hope that they do the right thing. In this particular case, I walk away from this thing thinking, this might not be so bad. Because there's going to be so much stinking transparency. There's so many people that hate the Trumps due to this vicious election. Good luck trying to get cute on this thing. Because you'll serve one term, or you're going to get yourself in trouble. But the question to you, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to hear from you. Do you agree that Donald Trump should be able to still have those folks that have been running his business run the business while he separates from the business and runs the country? info@cfnplan.com. Love to hear from you. info@cfnplan.com. Now, it gets clouded because some of those individuals and family members that will be running the business, he also wants to have a seat at the table of the White House. That's going to be a problem. That'll get worked out because you can't have it both. The problem he's going to have is that there's trust issues. And I get it. Look, as a business owner, it all falls on you, really, whether the business lives or dies, right? If you're the brand and you're the rainmaker, so you need people around you trust. And if those people around you are people that came from your business that you trust, and you want them around you in the White House because there's a lot of sharks swimming out there that are part of the bureaucracy and the apparatus, that establishment that really got Donald Trump to where he is of winning the White House, if you want to protect yourself from some of that establishment, you need people you can trust. But most of those people have been in your business world. That's the Trump dilemma right now. I love the fact that he's driving the left nuts because he looks disorganized and he looks like he doesn't have it together. And, you know, MSNBC and, you know, Rachel Maddow has got her panties in a twist. Her jock strap is too tight. And she's making big noise about this. Look how buffoonish he is. He can't even run a bit. No, he's unorthodoxed. He's coming into this thing not being part of the machine. And he's building trust people around him because he understands that this isn't checkers that gets played at this level. This is chess. And unless you got good people next to you, decisions aren't going to be made quickly. He can't even make Giuliani the Secretary of State. You know why he can't? Because he's come out and said, nobody who's going to take a position here is going to be able to lobby and make money off of being part of an administration for 5 years. Rudy Giuliani has a consulting business. If he wants to be Secretary of State, he's not going to be able to commingle. That vetting process, that whole thing that he's going to be called out on, Trump, if he makes a mistake and puts somebody in that's able to make a buck off of the taxpayer dollar, that's going to look hypocritical. And frankly, we got a guy in the White House that has a brand. And if there's a checks and balance system that I can at least try to get comfortable with, because I'm not a big fan of his. I love the fact that he shook up Washington. I'm no doubt about that. I struggled voting for him. I was part of a poll where I could not say I was voting for him. I was that guy. Call me the forgotten white man. Call me what you want. Call me, I had a client the other day, you drank the Kool-Aid. Whatever. Okay, I drank the Kool-Aid. I still voted for him. I voted for one reason on when I got in there, and I didn't know I was going to vote until I got in there. There was one thing in the back of my mind that was tugging at me that would have caused me to vote for him. And when I got in there, the only reason why I voted for him and didn't do my write-in like I was going to do is because I saw her name, and her name was on the first column. I voted for him for one single reason. He's the first president I've ever had to vote for that had to make a payroll. He's the first president that I voted for that has had debt issues, that has had to argue with bankers, that has had to deal with regulation of running a business. You can say the Bushes did, but if you go back to Bush 1, and look at how many years he was part of the government. There weren't very many challenges to the Bush family being business owners. And therefore, with me voting age, and Ronald Reagan being the first president I voted for, this particular president was my first president that had to make a payroll, that had to meet employee benefit needs, that paid for health care for employees. That got my vote. So let's tie this all back. Where does it fall into you and I? It falls back to whether there's dysfunction going on here. Because the left is saying, look at this big apparatus of businesses, and how's that ever going to be separated, and who can do what, and you got family here and there. Tie it to you. Tie it to what you have. Do you know what you have? Do you know what you're invested in? Do you know where your assets are? Do you know what everything's worth for you? Because this is what they're trying to figure out right now with Donald Trump. What is all this stuff worth? Where is it? How do we get our arms around it? Do you know I talk to more business owners that don't know what their business is worth? I'm going to tell you something even shocking. On my kids, I had somebody in my office last week who deals within my industry. He helps financial advisors. He helps financial advisors who are looking to move to different companies. This particular person has probably hundreds, thousands of financial advisors in his Rolodex that he talks to on an ongoing basis. This particular individual, I have never done business. He's from New York. He happened to be in Philadelphia and said, I want to get together with you. For almost 30 years, I've been talking to you. You have your own business. I just want to come in and just say hi. He told me something interesting. He said, out of all my years, 40 years of talking to financial advisors, do you know that I've only come across three in almost my 40 years that actually know what their business is worth? None of them recognize that they have a business. I said, that doesn't shock me. I deal with a lot of financial advisors, smart financial advisors, and I have a number of them have come to me and say, will you handle my stuff? You guys do a good job of managing emotions and anxieties. I fight with my spouse about money. There's emotions and anxiety. She feels intimidated because I'm a financial advisor, and therefore she can't win an argument with me. We want somebody who can be there and be by our side to go through it. That's an honor to me. But I'm surprised that I can come across very successful people today that don't know what they have or where it is. Antiques, art, heirlooms. I have people with heirlooms that just sit around, and, you know, it needs to have a place. Investments. I had somebody years ago, and my producer Vince is here, and this particular person actually was a producer for my show back in the 90s. And this particular producer came in to me and said, will you look at a statement that I have from Charles Schwab? And he inherited some shares of Microsoft from a grandmother. Those shares of Microsoft would have been worth about $100,000 if the time he inherited it, he still had the same number of shares. He had, because of fractional shares, he sold some. And he sold some because he went to LaSalle University and there was a keg party. And they were out of money. And they wanted a keg party coming up. They were going to do a beef and beer. And he, you know, he was in a fraternity. And I guess he wanted to be the big man. And, you know, I can come up with the money to pay for the thing. He thought the keg party would be a good investment. They were giving out Slim Jims because it was a beef and beer. Slim Jims and beer. And he, you know, if they could get the keg and they could get the Slim Jims, you know, and they could do four of these things, they could raise X amount of money. And he had this stock called Microsoft. He didn't know what it was. He said, I sold it. And we calculated, looked back, and anyway, but had no idea what he had. Look, I'm not belittling you by saying that we're all that naive, but you would be surprised. So if you don't know what you have, you should. If you don't know where everything is, you should. If you don't have a partner that you trust, you need to. And that's what this is coming down to, and we're going to hear more about it. It's the blind trust of the Trump empire. Who's going to run it? He needs a partner, and he needs a partner he can trust, but he also needs a partner he can trust in this other space. So for business owners, for example, I like working with them because I can give them advice from a business standpoint, also help them outside with things that they don't understand, which could be investments and bits and pieces of things that have been accumulated over the years that they haven't gotten their arms around because they're busy, or just folks who have accumulated wealth over the years during the aging process, the demographic train that we're all on. We've baby boomers that have moved through the system now that have life decisions, and those life decisions are retirement, downsizing, different climate, health, life goals, bucket lists, family dynamics, ones you get along with, the ones you don't, friends. You need a partner by your side because emotions set things in play. And I recently talked to pull this all to you and I. I'm dealing with something right now where, you know, I have somebody who wants to give up their smartphone because it hurts them when they go in to their smartphone and their contact list, and someone else is gone, passed on in their contact list. It's hard to have a text from somebody who is no longer here. How do you deal with that? You just want to give up. You want to do things that are drastic, and sometimes it's doing things from a financial standpoint and get you in trouble. So emotions will run heavy. Your emotions will run heavy during this whole transition process to the White House. Some will make it look dysfunctional. Some will not. Try to tie it to you and tie it to where you are. As you go through a transition in life, it could be from your working years to retirement or something in between. Will it be organized? Or will there be some type of dysfunction to it? Or will it be organized chaos? The main question I want from you is, who's going to be by your side that you trust to help you through it? I'll leave you with that. Because if you don't know, you should. I'm Steve Cordasco. It's the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. You can find me. Go to cfnplan.com. That's CFN as in Cordasco Financial Network, plan.com. You can Facebook me, facebook.com/CFNplan. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. We're going to talk now about Donald Trump and his transitioning to the White House. He says he's going to split time between the White House and Trump Tower. Maybe you call that work-life balance or just balance in general. But I find it interesting that here we go. He's going to do it his way, which is fantastic. Doing it his way. He's doing some other things that are unorthodox. One particular area that I want to talk about that's very key in life in general, right? In helping ourselves live the best life, right? Wealth ties into it. We talk about your life, your wealth, is how we go about putting together our own plan, our own team, our own group. And one of the key areas that I often tell individuals who come to me for financial help and the goal for them to live the best possible life is that you have to have a partnership. Partnership is very, very important to success when it comes to planning. One thing Trump is doing as he builds his group of confidants, those that he's surrounding himself with, his partnership, call it a team. The partnership group are the ones that are going to be by your side, helping you achieve success. For many of you that I tend to talk to, achieving success is having the best possible life. For Donald Trump, his team is going to help him achieve the best possible results of his time as president. So he's putting this team together. I find it fascinating in how he's going about his partnership. What he's building is not just a group of outsiders, those that have been part of an apparatus, like the head of the Republican Party, now coming in as chief of staff, those individuals who ran a media company like Breitbart, who kind of are the thought police, know what certain people are thinking and can help position the words that work to the base. But he's going somewhere else that nobody has really gone before. And that is he's pulling his family in. He's pulling his family in to his group of trusted advisors. And that's the key here. Who do you trust to partner with you? In Trump's case, he's pulling those in that have tentacles that stretch that are going to be very important for him achieving what he needs to achieve and getting things done in Washington. Both sides of the aisle. He knows he's not going to be blessed. He hopes he is blessed with a Congress and a Senate who are going to all be in lock sync with him. He knows there's going to be conflict over the next 4 years. So let me get some folks in there who know the Washington inside. Let me get somebody who's very vocal to help me get there, like the Breitbart folks, that can also help me position where I need to position and show some strength. And now, let me bring in the trust, and that's my family. I think there's something to be said for that. Say what you want about Trump. He's brazen. He's this. I know the girls on The View got their panties in a twist over, you know, the fact that he's in office, and everybody's kind of looking at this and saying, how can this buffoon be our president? But I got to tell you something. Guy's got a family that is standing by his side. It ain't easy growing up in a house with a guy who is, you paint the picture of him, egotistical, one-sided, brash. Go down the list. If you can get through watching The View without puking, listen to what they're saying. But they're painting a pretty horrible picture of a guy who's got a family who's working with him, who has worked with him. I can tell you this firsthand. I know guys who worked with the Trump boys at Trump Marina, Farley State Marina, when there was the Trump had his casino and it had a marina. Those boys were out there tying up boats. You came in, we'll get your boat. They tie it up. You help you step off the boat. Ain't easy, you know, manning vessels, sea vessels, tying them up, moving them around, dealing with wind, working. You're sweating. It's humid out there. It's not like the Grey Poupon was going on their, you know, their soft pretzel there. It calluses. Their hands were bleeding. I like that. And guess what? They grew up in the family business. You know, think about this. How many times do we hear don't mess family and business together? It's a disaster. Never works. Well, in this case, it seems to have worked. So he's pulling family in. I think that's fascinating to me. But what he's doing, he's building this team of trust. My question to you is, what do you do in your life to build that? Who do you have as a partner on your side who can help achieve your best possible life? The show is Your Life, Your Wealth. Your life comes first. Your wealth is there too. One doesn't come before the other. I know lots of people, when it comes to money, that have a hell of a lot less money than other people I know. But they have a lot of wealth. When I saw Trump up on stage about to do his acceptance speech, and those of you who got my letter saw kind of my thoughts of that night, and I'm not going to couch it. Trump wasn't my first pick. He was not my first choice. Shocked. Yeah, I'm shocked. And those of you that said, boy, you really blew this one, Cardasco. I guess you drank the Kool-Aid. I didn't drink the Kool-Aid of the other side. I just didn't think that the lockhold that the establishment had on the system, when you have Bushes involved and you have Clintons involved and you have Karl Rove's involved and you got a media apparatus, I knew at some point it would be tossed up. I just didn't know Trump would be able to do it. He did it. But what I was looking at on that stage was not a guy who we can debate whether he's got a billion, 2 billion, 3 billion, or not a billion. I looked at a guy who's got wealth. He's got kids up there. Think about this. Who come from different marriages that he's kept relationships with. He's got a son-in-law. How many of you get along with the individuals that your kids marry? I'm not there yet. I got 5 kids. But statistically, I would think I'm going to have... I get along with everybody. Whether the 4 dogs get along with the spouses, different story. Whether each of the kids' spouses... You know what I mean? There's family. You can't... There's a saying. You can control a lot of things in your life. You can't control your family. It is what it is. You're born into the world. That's what you got. Like Obama had to do during the debate. He had to sit there and look at this brother of his out there. You know where I'm going. He had his family up there. That is wealth to me. I'm sure behind the scenes there's conflict. I know there was. I brought up in the show last week about how Ivanka was worried about the brand and what's the game plan B. You know, our vacancies are moving up a little bit in some of the Trump products. You know, we now no longer have a PGA or, you know, the women's LPGA, blah, 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 right? So I'm sure there was conflict in there, but they worked through it. My question to you, right, when it comes to your partners, the people you trust, do you have family there or not? Those of you that own a business, isn't it hard mixing family and business? I want you to really think about this. Who is on your team? Because we need to take a page from this and really learn from this period of time, because it's going to be gone in a blip. He's going to pick his group. We're going to have this board. People are going to sit at a table, and Trump is going to run it like a company. He's going to hold people accountable, which is what you should do when you build your team and your partnership. He's going to make sure that there's an organizational approach taken to doing things. There's got to be proactivity, right? You got to anticipate what's coming up, what's next. He brought somebody in, you know, who was on the insider, head of the Republican Party, That's a proactive individual who can anticipate key transitions that are going to take place. Good addition. You got the Breitbart folks. What are they going to be doing there? They're going to help educate. They're going to show him that here's a way you talk to folks out there who put you in office. There's a way to do it. You don't go poking your finger saying you're going to pay your fair share. You don't pit people against each other.
What would the police arrest him for? Of course he's going to run from police. He was brought up in that kind of community.
There's a way to educate the people. And that's called words that work. Objectivity. There's going to be a lot of emotions going on. How do you deal with the emotional stuff? Trump's campaign manager was wonderful at it. She could pull him aside and say, you got to stop. Here's what I want you to do. Think about this. And when she realized that wasn't working and the other campaign manager got fired, she went into psychology and she said, how do I get him to do what I want him to do? Okay, you want to do that, Donald? Great, you can do that, but you have to do this for me too. Okay, he's a deal guy. I'll give you this for that. It's just like, I love it. You want a piece of legislation passed? No problem. Or regulation passed? Give me the regulation, drop two. Right? It's negotiating. He's going to have people on his team that are able to deal with that, be able to create objectivity to help deal with the emotions that could make mistakes. My question, and accountability. You got to follow through. Somebody's got to hold somebody accountable. Trump's going to hold his team accountable. He's going to hold his son-in-law because his son-in-law's going to have a big piece of this thing, which I think is fabulous. What's his name? Josh Krutchner? I'll get his name down because he's going to be more of a household name. And then you got to have organization. You got to have somebody who can organize the whole thing, right? Your chief of staff. Organize this whole thing. Well, that's what they're putting in place. You should do that too. So my question is, who do you have as your partner? Is it a family member? And if it is a family member, do you trust that family member? And is that the reason why they're there? Do you have a financial advisor that you trust? Do they know really what you're looking for to live your best possible life? Or do they just know numbers? Is it all more about your money and how much money you have versus your wealth and what you really, Jared Kushner, thank you for those of you who just emailed me, is the son-in-law. Your wealth, what is wealth to you? That all needs to be pulled together. So here's your homework assignment. I want you to think about it. Who's organizing your stuff? Can you relate to them? Who do you rely on? And when you do have somebody, are they able to share with you what your blind spots are? Trump had a tremendous number of blind spots. His campaign manager, Kelly, figured it out. She's like, he can't see what's going to come about of what he's going to do in this particular type of space when he overreacts to something. And she could figure out what that blind spot was that he had and is able to get him to see it. Fascinating. Who do you have on your team that can do that? Trump's not going to have control over a lot of things, and he's a control guy. Somebody's got to help manage that. How do you handle not having control? So, ladies and gentlemen, that's my assignment to you. We're going to get a lot of noise coming our way over what this group is going to look like that will help Trump lead our country. But I want to bring it back to you. In the end, what are you doing? In the end, if we all do the best we can to help ourselves, the better we all will be as a group. So everybody who's fighting with each other over this election turnout, you need to think about that. And what can you do to be the best? What can you do to give you the best possible life and really have wealth that you feel good about? It starts with a partnership and a team. So go about it. Make it happen. I'm Steve Cardasco. It's a Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Love to hear your comments on this. Give me your take on Trump's transition, the fact that he's including family into his trusted advisor group while they're in the White House. You can email me, info@cfnplan.com. info@cfnplan.com. That's our mailbag we're going to be sharing with you. I'm Steve Cardasco. Back in a moment.
Hey, Rich Hilly here. My friend Steve Cordasco, financial advisor and founder of Cordasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax saving strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I'm Steve Cordasco, broadcasting on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, also being broadcast on 990 WNTP in Philadelphia, Saturdays, 10 to 11. You can catch us. Boy, what a time it's been. We're living in a historic moment. You know, I have five kids, woke the kids up and said, hey, you know what? History in the making. Let's take a look at what's happening here. And it just, I found myself reminiscing back 8 years ago when, you know, a lot of folks said, why'd you stay up so late? Well, I stayed up so late because I actually wanted to see the Obamas when they came out, because they had won now for the first time. And it was one of those moments I was explaining to my kids, who were many of them too young at the time, 8 years ago, to share that with them. But it is an interesting time we live, history in the making. I thought I'd reach out to Leland Faust, who is an author, A Capitalist Lament, How Wall Street is Fleecing You and Ruining America. Leland, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Steve. I'm certainly delighted to be here.
Yeah, so you're there in California, so you were seeing the news happen as I was seeing the news happen. Your book is very interesting. You write basically talking about Wall Street. Wall Street's gone through a lot of change, a lot of adjustments. In the book, you talk about some reform. Now that Donald Trump is been declared our next president of the United States, how do you feel the reform part of what we've been dealing with the last 10 years in the making will now fare under a new president?
Well, I think that meaningful reforms along the lines that I certainly would like to see and have been advocating is going to be slowed down and tremendously, if not brought to a halt. One of the things that I feel most strongly about is so-called fiduciary duty, where an investment advisor or other representative of an individual has to put the client's interest ahead of his own, no excuses. And that, for instance, the Labor Department under President Obama had proposed regulations to require that for pension plans, and I thought that was a great plan, despite the opposition from Wall Street. Trump, one of Trump's advisors, literally, and this is just shocking to me, compared that plan to the Dred Scott decision on slavery from the 19th century. And so if it's that different a view of what needs to be done, then I think we're headed for some really difficult times in fixing the Wall Street mess.
Leland, I'm a fiduciary, for example. I have an advisory firm. We act as fiduciary for our clients. We're required to be a fiduciary for them. And what I found is that many of the politicians don't quite understand the fiduciary duty, the Department of Labor rule, right? So as I've been out there during this political season, I've been asking the question to those. And I've been finding that they don't quite get what it really is. And if I really take a look at who elected Donald Trump, right? We know right now, we took a look and we see who put him in office, right? He went against the establishment. He wasn't bought by Wall Street, wasn't bought by big firms. But it's those big firms that don't want this thing, right? And that's why they were committing so much money to Hillary Clinton. That was part of it. I would bet that once somebody really explains this ruling to him
and it gets showcased as something that's not in favor of the little guy, I'm going to be shocked if he goes the other direction on this one. You feel the same way?
Well, I don't know them, you know, Mr. Trump, to know how, you know, flexible he could be. I think what you just said makes a lot of sense, Steve. But I don't know how beholden he will feel to the people who are, you know, are advising him, and how to make that that decision. I mean, it certainly is some hope, because, for instance, one of the things that I have found so outrageous for years and years is the so-called tax on the carried interest. Now, carried interests are what the hedge fund operators and some of the private equity people get as a sort of an extra bonus for putting the deal together. And under current law, much of the income that the promoters make with that and the hedge fund managers is taxed at capital gains instead of ordinary income. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot cheaper for them. But there's no reason for it. And it was one of the few things that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in their campaigns said that they were going to fix. So here's something that both of them said they were going to fix, and now he's going to be in charge. So if he follows through on that, that will be a good sign that he is, you know, looking out for the, you know, the smaller guy and having the wealthier people pay their fair share. I'm not an advocate necessarily at all of higher taxes, but I am an advocate of people paying a fair amount for their compensation, and that's what these carried interests are.
But talk a little bit more about that, because that gets confusing for folks, because it makes somebody, let's say, like me, who's a small business owner, who, if I go through and I whittle down, all of a sudden, by the time I pay the city of Philadelphia, by the time I pay the state of New Jersey, by the time I pay the federal side, and even though I own a business, I am still in the high 40s, and I haven't hit property tax yet. So tell me, you know, where, how do you, what is the poster of somebody, meaning if you had to paint a picture of somebody not paying their fair share, what does that look like?
Well, it would look like a hedge fund operator who literally makes, and this has happened, and I know that people aren't going to believe the numbers I'm about to toss out, but I swear to you they're true, that in some good years, some hedge fund operators, individual people, have made $3 to $4 billion in 1 year. And then instead of paying a 40% tax on that, they pay a 20% tax on that income. So if you earn $3 billion and you paid 20% less tax, you save $600 million in taxes, plus you don't pay your Medicare tax, which is another 1.5%.
But explain why that is. Some people don't understand. They just think, oh, geez, you know, what did somebody, you know, did they got some – explain why that they get to pay half versus what somebody like myself would pay.
Well, because of the way they structure their contingent compensation, the compensation they get if the fund makes a profit, they end up being technically a partial owner of the fund. So then this, if it's done right under current law, converts what would otherwise be ordinary income into a capital interest in the partnership, and profits on capital interests are capital gains, which are favorably taxed. I'm all in favor of having capital gains taxation being lower, but for real capital, and that's where I differ with these folks a lot.
See, I agree with you, because what they're doing is they're doing work like you or I would do, but they're wrapping it in something that makes it look like it's passive, right? So capital gain. So it's like the retiree, for example, somebody who saves their whole life. They now have a nest egg, right? They're collecting, you know, maybe a pension, Social Security, and then they have their portfolios. And if they sell something with a capital gain, right, they're getting favorable tax treatment, right? It's passive for them.
Right.
In this particular case, they're taking what that rule is, and they're playing with structuring their income source into something that looks like it's a passive situation, right? I have a problem with it too, flat out.
I say the way you describe it is just right. They're being paid for their services, and they can put any spin they want on it they didn't invest a nickel for their carried interest. If they invest dollars like everybody else, that should be capital gain treatment.
Exactly.
But when they just invest in their time, it's just compensation for services. And it's the same as you said, you and I getting paid for managing money. They just have a different system for getting paid. What I analogize it to is a waiter. You get your base salary, and then you get supposedly a tip for good service. Well, in the finance industry, you get your management fee, and then you get your percentage of the profits for good service. Well, that shouldn't magically convert it into capital gain.
Right.
And it costs between the Medicare taxes lost and the income taxes lost, somewhere like $10 billion a year. Now, sure, on the federal government, $10 billion is not massive, but hey, it's not trivial, and it's not right, and that's really important, too, because the perception is really important, I think. And I think that perception leads to distrust of Wall Street, and if there's distrust of Wall Street and the capitalist system, then we're all going to suffer for it, because if we don't have free enterprise, we're going to all be poor and we're all going to be less free.
What's interesting is that, in your book you write, you talk about some of those really devious practices, right? So that falls in. Carried interest is one of those devious practices that, a capitalist lament, right? Talking about how Wall Street is fleecing the American people, ruining America, right? As you pen that book, technically, do you call yourself someone who worked on Wall Street? Because you were a registered investment advisor. And the reason why I ask is because you're sort of a profile of me. And I don't consider myself as a Wall Streeter, right? I consider myself somebody who deals with Main Street, right? Not Wall Street. So, are we being fair? Is there a certain part of this industry that is getting a bad rap because they're throwing everybody into the mix as being Wall Street?
Well, as my book says, and as I believe, obviously there is a spectrum. And when I'm talking about Wall Street, and I define it in the book, I certainly am talking for the most part about the major firms. So I'm talking about the major banks, the major investment banks, the stock brokerages, some of the mutual fund complexes, some of the big insurance companies. But there are people and firms that are not included in the net I'm casting out. And I mean, I stress in the book that such an important thing is being a fiduciary, meaning, as I said before, you put your client's interest first, legally and practically. So, for instance, if you're a fiduciary, you can't sell a client a mutual fund that has a 5% commission if the same product's available with a 1% commission or with no commission.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a violation. You can't sell somebody a complicated product when a simple product would do the same thing, because, again, you're violating your fiduciary duty. Would you make that investment with your own money, given the alternatives? The answer is no, but there are people who are fiduciaries. You are a fiduciary. I'm a fiduciary legally, and therefore, that's fine. That's what you want. One of the things that I say in the book, if you want to protect yourself from Wall Street and get with the right people, you go into your advisor and you say, here's a letter. And the letter says, I am a fiduciary, and they sign it. Now, if they won't sign it, it means they're not, and you should do business with somebody else.
So, and I agree, but it gets so clouded and there's so much money trying to fight for this. Take the insurance industry, for example. You have an insurance person who calls himself a financial advisor. I guess that's fair. Maybe it's not. Love your opinion on it. Second, how do you fall within the insurance industry into this fiduciary thing when so many insurance products today are being clouded as investment products and sold out of fear?
Well, I think it's a real problem, and I think that what you want to do, and it certainly can unfortunately add a layer to the situation, is to have a fiduciary advisor telling you what kind of insurance products you need or don't need, so that you don't fall into that trap. of having somebody who has every incentive to sell you a higher-priced product to do it. I mean, for instance, there are times when annuities do make sense for people, but there are lots of times when they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But they have really high commissions. Sorry, and therefore they're pushed a lot by the insurance advisors, even though they're not in the client's best interest. So I think it's a real problem. There are there is term insurance, which is usually it's always cheaper and usually the way to go. There are occasions when whole life insurance could make sense. So again, you have to have someone who has no financial stake in selling it to you, advising you. But the general, I'm sorry to say, I think that all too often the general insurance agents are interested in earning commissions and not in coming up with the best product for their customers.
Hey, recently, and I don't know how you feel about this, I've been in business 30 years, and I consider myself somebody who helps Main Street and not a Wall Street guy. I'm a guy that can't seem to pay capital gains on the bulk of all my income. And we do pay health care and all that other kind of stuff that goes along and employment tax and all that kind of stuff. So I'm in the trenches. And from time to time, I see our industry evolving and people have become sort of celebrities in our business, right? I've known Jim Cramer over the years and gotten to know him and have shared airspace with, different types of Dave Ramsey, for example, different types of people. But Tony Robbins recently started to hang a hat as, sort of a celebrity type investor, advisor. Is there a celebrity investor we can trust out there?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure there's anybody that I'm prepared to say, listen to this person. I don't want to do that. I can comment on some of the things that you see too often, and it's just the opposite. It's the celebrity investors don't have a clue, and I mean that sincerely, or at least they act like they don't have a clue, and it doesn't matter whether they do or don't if they act like they don't. But Jim Cramer himself is the perfect example. He knows what makes good theater, and that's why he's so popular. But following his advice may or may not be good for you. I mean, quite a few years ago, but he came out with his number one favorite stock. Now, before I even tell you what he said and what happened, let's just think about that. You're saying of all the stocks in the world, you have the ability to pick the number one best. I mean, that's just in my view, a general recipe for disaster, because you might be right, but if you're wrong, your clients are really going to get hurt. Okay, well, anyway, so he names his number one best stock to buy at that point. Well, a year later, the stock was down 50% from when he made that recommendation, and 2 years later, it was down 95%. Now, if that's the single best stock to own, God help us, right? And, I mean, the other thing that Jim Cramer did, which I thought was kind of interesting, was partner with and endorse as an investment advisor Lenny Dykstra. Now, a lot of your listeners here aren't going to remember who or even know who Lenny Dykstra is.
No. Listen, we're in Philly, my friend. So we're in Philly, so we're going to know well who Lenny Dykstra is.
Okay, well, hey, all right. Lenny Dykstra played with the Phillies for sure and then led the Mets to the World Series championship.
Mm-hmm.
But he then goes to work for Cramer, who then says he's, quote, one of the best in the business. Close quote. Now let's think about that. You got a guy who's a baseball player, and he could instantly become one of the best in the business when he's never had any background in it. And when Lenny Dykstra himself said in an interview, "I don't read because it might ruin my eyesight, which could affect my hitting," and of course Dykstra himself ended up going to jail and bankruptcy and all kinds of other problems. So, it's indicative of just celebrities hooking their wagons together and trying to make money. And when Dykstra started an investment advisory letter, within a very short period of time, he collected $1 million in subscriptions. I mean, this is just craziness.
Hilarious. Hey, listen, so you've done work with celebrities, right? You've actually been an advisor to celebrities.
Yes, I have. I'm fortunate that over the years I've been able to work with you know, hundreds of professional athletes and over 100, you know, Academy Award, Grammy, and
all right, good. Let me pull, because in the safety of time. So there's an A-list of celebrities out there that are just freaking out over a Trump win. You know, and we had this whole A-list. You know, I'll go down the list. And I don't want to name any of your clients, but let's just we'll leave whoever it is you have worked with in the past, because you're no longer working with them. But so Barbara Streisand's going to move out of the country. She said she's going to Canada if Trump gets elected. And we can go down the list and name a bunch of people. We can even get to Cher, who actually said she was going to go to Jupiter. And then I found out from somebody when I said Jupiter's not inhabitable, some millennial told me that really means that she's just going to smoke pot, Dad, and get, you know, pickled is what somebody just recently done. I mean, like, that's what's called going to Jupiter. So Amy Schumer, you got a whole list of those folks that are out there in California with you that are just getting out, right? So they've just,
well, we'll see what they do.
Tell me, help me out here. So I mean,
there's not room in Canada for everybody who said they're going.
As a financial advisor, right, because everybody's leaving, I guess. I don't know if it's because of the social aspect or if it's the fact that they actually feel like maybe they just want to go somewhere where they're taxed more, right? I mean, if they want to go. Come on, you're out there. You deal with them. What's it all about? I mean, should everybody be as scared about Trump as what it seems as if the media or The View is making it out to be?
Well, hey, I'm not, I don't pretend to be a political science expert. I think that I can comment a little bit on the effect it might have on the markets and why the markets would be, you know, concerned. I mean, he's talked about changing our, you know, trade agreements, and that has real implications. And, you know, how we, trade with China, what we do with, you know, the Philippines, and they've got a new leader who's rather difficult, to say the least, and how we, you know, make ourselves felt in Asia, how much we're involved, how much we back away, that can have tremendous implications for financial markets. The same thing with, what we do vis-a-vis Russia and NATO. So these have real implications. But I don't think anybody yet can predict what it is, except that markets don't like instability, and we're looking at, you know, instability until we see how he settles down and what he really does. Once he's in power, will the responsibility affect him, or will it not? If it doesn't, then I think we're going to see all kinds of gyrations in the market. If he has good advisors and he, you know, calms down, then perhaps things will be more stable. But I'm also a believer in free trade. So both his stance of, you know, huge protectionism is a real problem. I mean, huge protectionism might help bring some jobs home, but it comes at a cost of much higher cost of goods and smaller markets. So I don't think there's an easy answer there, and I think that's why we all have to remain very cautious and guarded about the effect on the markets.
Hey, appreciate the time with you, Lena Faust, and your book. I recommend it. It's a read, A Capitalist's Lament, How Wall Street is Fleecing You and Ruining America. Leland, thanks. Keep up the great work. Love to have you back again.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve, and love to continue the discussion.
Yep, we live in interesting times, don't we? Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, also broadcasting here in Philadelphia on 990 WNTP. You can follow me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CFNplan, facebook.com/CFNplan, or go to Twitter. It's at CFNplan. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I'm Steve Cordasco. Hey, I am so thankful that you are part of our weekly program, week in and week out, as you know. I broadcast on Thursdays from 3 to 4 on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. I also... I'm also on Saturdays on 990 WNTP in Philadelphia. The folks there at Salem Communications were nice enough to say, hey, Steve, we like your show. We know you're doing it yourself. Can we put your show on the air? We'll sell advertising space, and if you give us the content, we'd like to be able to market your show, and let's create an agreement to do that. So thankful that you're listening to me also on 990 WNTP. Thankful for the folks at 990 WNTP. Thankful to Hugh Hewitt and Prager and Levin and all those guys that are over there, part of the lineup on 990 WNTP. So glad that I am part of that. So glad that Hugh Hewitt has been treating me so nice when he comes to Philadelphia and its other events. Many of you have been able to come and participate in some of those events that have taken place at the Union League. So I'm thankful for a lot. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. And there's just some type of feeling you get during Thanksgiving. At least I get it. Eat, see friends, you know, kind of just take your mind off of the day-to-day grind. So it's a good one for me. And I hope it is for you too, just seeing family and getting together. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun this year at a lot of tables. Politics, I'm sure, will be talked about. But in that process of giving thanks, let's just talk a little bit about all that goes into the particular holiday. There's a lot of planning that takes place. Have you ever gone into Thanksgiving without planning? Not putting a list together of if you're hosting what you need. If you don't host, have you ever not planned out where you're going to be? Reached out to someone who you usually spend time with during that period? Can you imagine just not doing that? How would it go? Would it be successful? Can you successfully plan your Thanksgiving without a plan? Would your Thanksgiving succeed if you did not have something planned? Of course not. It's not going to succeed. Take it a step further. Maybe you're not the one that puts your Thanksgiving together. But, you know, after you're done the turkey, what are you going to do? You're going to hit the couch. What happens when you hit the couch? What's on the TV? Football. You think those coaches have a plan? Do you think those players have practiced a plan? Of course. And that's what I want you to take away. You got to have a plan. To the point where I've my email, steve@cfnplan.com, because the plan needs to come first. It's before investments. It's before your cash flow. It's before you buy things. It's before you pay down debt. It comes first. You got to have it in place so you can see what it looks like. Very few people bring their plan to life. And that's one thing that we've learned to do here. And that's a unique value proposition that I like to have at Cordasco Financial Network. It's actually putting you in it so that you can see yourself in it. That's why during football, they watch tapes. That's part of the planning process. You watch tapes to see yourself in it. And if you're not dealing with somebody who can put you in it so you can see yourself, I'm not sure you can win. So you got to plan. And not just plan, but you got to put yourself in the plan. So do me a favor, make it a priority that after you get done planning for this Thanksgiving and the holiday season, when you're watching your team and you see them executing a plan, think of yourself at some point and make sure that you have a plan and a plan that you can see, a plan that comes to life, a plan that adds clarity and comfort to your life when it comes to your finances. It's always good to have a partner also in that plan, just like those coaching football, right? It's a team. And those that can work together well with a plan have a much better chance of success. At the end of the day, those that have a plan coupled with a good team fare better than those that don't. Hey, I'm Steve Cordasco. Make it a happy, safe, wonderful Thanksgiving, you and family, loved ones. I'm so happy and thankful for you and the fact that you've accepted our life and your wealth network into your day-to-day, weekly dose of well-being for yourself. Keep it here. You're listening to 990 WNTP. Don't forget, you can also follow me on Twitter, at CFNPlan. And also would love for you to friend me on Facebook, facebook.com/CFNPlan. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.